Worship at 6:30. Oh, thank you, John. And then, in between, at 3:00, there's a meeting here at the church for volunteers or potential volunteers for the Child Contact Centre we plan to establish at the church on a Sunday afternoon if we can get enough support from the outside. Kathy Bain will be talking at the meeting, and she used to run a Child Contact Centre in London, and now she's Regional Support Manager for Greater London. She's very knowledgeable and will be passing on her experience, as well as able to answer any questions we may have. So do please come along if you think you might be interested. So that's today. Pastoral and personal news. Helen Johnson has had surgery, so please do pray for her and Alan. Martin and Sue Daldorf have become grandparents again yesterday. They have a new granddaughter, Dorothy Ann Jackman. And you'll be pleased to hear that EJ has been granted her residence visa. Don't forget that next Sunday, there's no evening service at KURC here. Instead, there's a joint service with New Malden URC at URC New Malden, which will be to induct Soo Kin as Special Category Minister for Korean Liaison. So please do come along and support Soo Kin if you can. On Saturday the 8th, please don't forget, it's just a fortnight away, it's the Harvest Supper and Show. Now, you may have seen some of these around, please do read them. Don't be put off by the list of artists who will be performing, come along anyway. It's going to be a cracking evening, and you'll have a chance to have a go at Zumba, led by Rose, and supper will be provided. It's a snip at £8 for adults and £4 for children and students. You can get tickets from Ray or from anybody else on the social committee. Don't forget, please, that voting papers for this year's elders' elections are due back by the end of the month, that is, the end of next week. So if you've not voted yet, if you're a church member and have not voted yet, please do so and leave your voting paper in the box at the back of the church. And finally, church news is out today, so please pick up your copy in the vestibule.
What do you think? Jesus told the chief priests and the elders. And then he told them a story about two sons. And the Lord says to us as we gather, what do you think? Time to sing. Rejoice, the Lord is King. We join together to pray. Let us pray. Loving God, take a moment of silence as we get ready to worship you. Help us to put aside those things that are the focus of our lives through the week, the things that are a burden to us, the list. Help us to focus on you. God, you have called the world into being, and you call us to follow Jesus Christ. Open our ears to hear your call, and open us to receive your love. Forgive us for those times when we hear your call on our lives and we don't listen. Forgive us for those times when we speak foolishly before we have thought. Forgive us when we say we will do one thing and we do another. Forgive us when we are so focused on our own interests that we do not take a moment to think of the needs and the interests of others. Lord our God, let the same mind be in us that was in Jesus Christ, so that your love for all people may shine through our words and through our actions. Set us free to serve you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. They asked Jesus, is it about being religious? And he told them a story. He said, once there was a dad, and in the dad's sitting room it was really untidy. And dad said to his two daughters, could you please tidy this, your things away? And the first one said, I'm not tidying up. I've got too much to do. I'm sick of you nagging. You're going on and on, and I'm not doing it. I'm just going to sit here and watch the telly. I'm not doing it at all. And dad very wisely left and said to the other daughter, could you tidy up your stuff, please? And the daughter said, yeah, okay, I'll do that, dad. Always glad to help. And dad thought, bliss, at least one of them's going to do it. Went away, had a cup of tea, read the paper. Let's thought, I'll go back and check, see whose toys have been tidied up, see what's happening. Went back into the sitting room, and half the toys were gone, but not the half that he'd expected. For the first daughter, who had said, no, had eventually tidied them up. And the second daughter, who had said yes, had not. And Jesus said, what's it about then? Is it about what you say you'll do, Or is it about what you actually do? And maybe, of course, the very best thing would be if what we said we would do and what we do are the same. And the very, very, very best thing is if what we said we would do and what we do are the same, and we focus our eyes on Jesus. And if we do that, then we will be living a life that turns everything upside down, which is, I'm sure you'll agree, a cue for a song, eh? Philippians. The passage from Philippians is a passage which speaks of humility. Humility is a very interesting and complex thing, and the more you think you have it, the less you do. And Glyn will read this passage to us. Glyn Robinson.
This reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit. You have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees and will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, dear friends, as you have always obeyed me when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey me now while I am away from you. Keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation, because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose.
To anybody who knows any of the stories of the Bible, it will not be a surprise to hear this scripture from Matthew. Where does Jesus' divine authority come from? The people ask him. And is it the same as that which John had? And not surprisingly, they didn't want to say yes. They didn't want to say no. And he presses them with this story, which Alan Oscroft will read to us.
The second reading is from Matthew 21, verses 23 to 32. The question about Jesus' authority. Jesus came back to the temple, and as he taught, the chief priests and the elders came to him and asked, "What right have you to do these things? Who gave you this right?" Jesus answered them, "I will ask you just one question, and if you give me an answer, I will tell you what right I have to do these things. Where did John's right to baptize come from? Was it from God or from man?" They started to argue among themselves, "What shall we say? If we answer from God, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe John?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of what the people might do, because they are all convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you then by what right I do these things." The parable of the two sons. Now, what do you think? There was once a man who had two sons. He went to the elder one and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." "I don't want to," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. Yes, sir, he answered, but he did not go. Which one of the two did what his father wanted? The elder one, they answered. So Jesus said to them, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John the Baptist came to you, showing you the right path to take, and you would not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your minds and believe him.
I'm going to say something even more pompous than normal. I believe I've got a word of the Lord that a number of you need to hear. And then I've got a really cheery story that you need to tell everybody that you meet. Because it's just a lush story. And I've been told that I've got to tell you this story. Just tell everybody because it'll warm everybody's heart. And you're all thinking to yourself, forget the rest of it, just get to the end. No, you've got to sit through the other stuff first. From the Christian point of view, the best life is one where our words and our actions match up with Jesus. We say we will, we do it, and what we say we will do and what we do match up with Jesus. The next best thing, if that's too much, the next best thing is to do good things, even if you say you're not going to do them. Like the secret millionaire. Or, well, I'm sure you don't know anything about rubbish telly like that. You know. Have you ever heard of a footballer called Craig Bellamy? One or two. He plays for Liverpool now, but in his heyday, he played for the Black and Whites. Played for Newcastle. And he earns an absolute fortune. He used to play for Man City. Go figure. He earns a lot of money. And there's a bit of a hoo-ha for the fact that he wouldn't take a wage cut. Because Man City wanted rid of him. And he wouldn't take a wage cut. And there's all sorts of hoo-ha about how greedy he was and all this stuff. And then it comes out that actually, Craig Bellamy, who's a really... He's always getting sent off and he's always fighting and he's been arrested loads of times and he was a father when he was 17 and he's, you know. That actually he was supporting a huge number of orphans in Sierra Leone. And people didn't know about this piece of work he was doing. And so he had to keep his wages coming in because he needed the money to go to Sierra Leone. So the best thing is good works, good words shaped on Jesus. The next best is good works, whether you're going to say it or not, but you do it. The worst is those smiling, nice, religious people who say that they will and then they don't deliver. Now, of course, people don't always do that because they're mean. They don't always do that because they're bad. Sometimes people have got themselves into the habit. If somebody says, could you? They automatically say yes. Could you? Yes. Instead of, actually, do you know what? That would be good, but I've actually got to say no. And I've got to say no because this, and this is going on for me, and I can't do it. It's not that people are mean, it's not that they're evil, it's that sometimes people overstretch themselves. And it's a skill that we need to learn to be able to say to somebody, sorry, I can't do that. Can't do it. The scribes and the Pharisees ask Jesus, where does his authority come from? And it's not surprising that they ask the question because of all the things that Jesus has been up to. Their assumption seems to be that he does not have authority. So Jesus then asks them this tricky question about John the Baptist and then goes into the parable. And in response to the parable, Jesus tells the leaders they are forced to admit that it's better to appear objectionable but do what is right rather than mutter religious phrases and actually be pursuing your own interests. And the other important bit of living a good life comes from the Philippians passage. What we do then, we do as an act of humble service, and we do not need to shout about ourselves or emphasize the value of our activity, because we already have value because we are people that God loves. And that is true for everybody. Everybody in the world it is true for. But not everybody has realized it yet. We have discovered it because of the ministry of Jesus. So humility, as I said, is an interesting thing. And the more you shout about it, the less it's true. And the Philippians passage makes it clear. It's not about being humble and then claiming status. It's about looking at the interests of others first. And we can do that because we have an awareness of our own self-worth as people for whom Jesus lived, died, and was raised. And we don't need great huge banners that say, Leslie, you're fantastic. Leslie. We don't need that. We know that because of what God has done in Jesus. However, saying thank you is a good habit, and it is true that churches are particularly bad at it. We're all human. So the challenge is to be the people that we said we would be as we follow the ways of Jesus. And to learn, because of our worth, that actually it's okay if we have to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And the reason why we say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, might well be that actually what we need to do is sit in the house and watch rubbish on the telly. Just relax. It's okay. That we're allowed to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I've got an urgent appointment with Jeremy Kyle. I don't know why I always use Jeremy Kyle, but, you know, I just need, I'm not doing everything. I can't do everything. Because you know what? In the back of that whole thing, I've got to do everything, I've got to do, is an assumption that God can't manage without me. And that's actually really, really, if you actually think about that, it's actually heresy. Now, sometimes we've all said, yeah, I'll do that. And then in time we discover that actually we can't do it. And we have to be careful about our reputation. We have to be careful about our reputation. You don't want to get the reputation of being somebody who says, yes, I will, and then you don't deliver. That is not a good place to be. So sometimes we need to have, you know, that's a learning thing for us, and we need to monitor it for ourselves. So for us as a community, we also need to be very clear that we don't overpromise. So there's a food bank about to start in Kingston. Could we be involved? We'll house it. We're not providing the workers, but we'll house it for you. Okay. There's a contact centre. We'll explore that. We'll explore it. We're not providing all the workers. We'll facilitate that thing for Kingston. We'll do it on behalf of the Lord Jesus, but we're not providing all the workers. And we make it quite clear, we can do this, but we can't do that, and we'll do what we can do. And of course, that's not to remove from anybody the opportunity to be involved and to serve in that way, but it is to make quite clear where Kingston URC is coming from with these things. Now, too often the problem in churches is that people haven't lived up to what they say is their calling. Of course, that is the failing of every single one of us as individuals, but as a community, I would respectfully contest with anybody that is not the major sin of Kingston United Reformed Church. Laziness is not our usual way of behaving. We are guilty of many sins, but inactivity would not be one of them. But the driving message, as follower of Jesus, needs to be that we are not driven by our vanity, not driven by our desire for ease, but driven by our desire to do what we believe to be right. And let me say again, at some point, that will be resting. And doing what is right in our community is not the sole prerogative of those who name themselves as follower of Jesus. And this is where my cheery, heartwarming story comes in. Phone goes, could you take a funeral? Looks at diary. Yeah. I don't know anything about these people, this woman. And there's no family. That happens as well. So I get the phone number of the person that's organising the funeral, phone them up, and arrange to meet, go and have a conversation. And the person who is arranging the funeral says to me, yeah, we meet on whatever day it was, 8 o'clock, fine. But somebody, Robert needs to be there as well, okay? I'll be there, and where am I meeting you? And she is the landlady of one of the local pubs. The landlady of one of the local pubs in Kingston. So I, of course, though I've never been in a public house before, what a liar. I go to the pub and meet the landlady, and we're talking about this funeral, and between the three of us we're putting this funeral together. And Robert is one of the local posties, works in the sorting office bottom of Villiers Row. And the story is, as we're talking about it, the story comes out, this old woman was one of the regulars in that pub for 30 years. Her husband died 20 years ago, but she still used to go in on a Friday for a drink. Then, 6 years ago, she became housebound. Every day, Robert would buy the son, which he told me he had never bought before and would never buy again, but he bought it for her because that's the paper that she liked. And then on a Sunday, he used to get the news of the world. But when they stopped that, he said, I got her to have the Sunday Mirror. That was his little bit of politics, I think. Every day, he would buy the newspaper and he would deliver it to her. Every week, the landlady of that pub would do this old woman's washing. Every week, she would wheel her into Kingston to go around the shops and take her to one of the local cafes. And if she needed, this old woman needed to go into hospital for checkups and stuff, she would take her. On a Tuesday, Robert would do all her shopping. And then he would come home, In a wheelchair, he would wheel her to one of her friend's houses. He would go away for a couple of hours, and then he would come back and he would wheel her home. On a Sunday, in this pub, they would cook a roast dinner, and Robert would take the roast dinner and deliver it round to her. God is at work. Good is at work. And quiet, humble service is not only our prerogative. Though an example like that is an example to each of us. Please don't mention us in the funeral service, comes the message. Humble people who delivered more than they said they would deliver. Let us be still, and then we will pray. Lord Jesus, we bask in your love for us. Which sets us free to serve you. Help us, shape us, energize us, calm us. Lord, we pray. Amen. The hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. We have three requests for prayer, which I'll read, and then I will lead us on. So let us pray. Let us pray for John Chance, who has cancer. Let us pray for Jan Kendall, who has depression. And Natasha Reed says, "Dear everyone, please pray for my sister who has been diagnosed with cancer of the stomach while being on holiday in the Ukraine. God, who cares? We offer to you the burden of care." For these people with their heavy burdens and others that we know who are unwell. And those who carry the burden of debt, redundancy, anxiety about their jobs, bereavement, those whose housing is not secure. We ask that you would help us and all to cast their burdens on you for your care. And help those we know to find rest with the burdens that they carry. For those who help others to cope, whether in their professional working lives or as neighbours, work colleagues, friends, and as part of the church community, strengthen those who support others. And for ourselves. Lord, receive the prayers we bring. For all of them come, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Lord our God, the servant king, who calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Amen. Now, Peggy, ages and ages ago, we practiced this hymn. And then you went on your holidays. Then I went on my holidays. And so here at last, and every week it's been, are we going to sing that hymn again? Well, we better pick another one. And oh, Lordy, Lord. But we're going to sing by Cool Siloam's Shady Rill, which a number of you will have never heard of. But for a number of you, it was, if my grandfather was here, he would say, every baptism, every wedding, every funeral, by Cool Siloam's Shady Rill. Presbyterians, yep. Presbyterians in the house think this is a rock-solid hymn that everybody in the world knows. The tune, you certainly know. We join to sing. As we return to our communities, let us take with us the love and the care of our eternal God. Let us take with us the humility of the Son, and let us take with us the enlightenment of the Spirit, and let us know that God is already ahead of us. And the blessing of God the Almighty, Creator, Son, and Spirit, be with us for now, forever. Amen.